Well, good morning. We come to our, we arrive at the concluding study of the events surrounding Easter. We've been considering the Passover, Jesus' death, his resurrection. And this morning you'll find, because we haven't got the screen, you should find a Bible within close proximity. Keep it open when you find the first reading, because we'll be taking a reading from the same page a little bit later on, doing three readings this morning. The first one we started is at John 21, verses 1 to 4. It's page 1259, if you have your Bible there. Find that there. And as Brandon touched on it, it's the miraculous catch of fish. So I read from John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Peter told them, Simon. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. When the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him, he said, it's the Lord. He wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there, and there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153 actually in number, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, the events of the last few weeks must have been very trying and a roller coaster of emotions for the disciples. He had shared the Passover with them in the upper room. They witnessed his crucifixion, his resurrection, his reappearance to them. And they'd spent 3 wonderful years with him. And now they were really not sure of the future. Peter suggested that they go fishing. That was his former occupation. It's what he knew. And also it was a chance to earn some money. So Peter and 6 other disciples went in the boat. As the Bible states, they had a very, very fruitless night. They caught nothing. And a stranger who they initially did not recognize came and said to them, friends, have you caught any fish? Now they were disappointed, they were dismayed, they were downcast, they were hungry and tired. If someone asked you that, you'd probably think, mind your own business. But there was care and concern in the Lord's lovely voice. And they followed his instructions. They threw the net down. It's amazing that the Bible actually tells us there was 153. But what follows was a miracle. And then they recognized the Lord. It's the Lord, John says. Simon jumps in the water to go out there. And he said to them, come and eat. Jesus had provided a meal of fish and bread. Much has to be said about Jesus's wanted them to be ready for what they were about to approach. But first they must have breakfast. Jesus recognized that the inner man must be fed before the outer man can be fed spiritually. And today, don't forget, they were going to be facing questioning. They were going to be rebuked. They were going to be instructed. They were going to be warned, and they were going to be commanded. But first, he wanted them fed. Right, we have our second reading now, and that's a continuation of the chapter we just read, John chapter 21. And we now start from verse 15, and we're going to read to verse 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you really love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you really love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went out where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you are not wanted to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus took Peter aside. I often used to wonder, did he speak in front of the disciples where they were reclining on the beach? But I thought, no, it can't be that, because obviously the Lord would not want to show Peter up, as it were. And then you read, actually, after that, you read in verse 20, my eyesight's going here, 24, that they looked round and there was John following them. So they'd obviously put out the fire and they were walking along the beach. Jesus took Peter aside, and as we've read, he said, "Do you love me?" Peter had to answer, "Yes." He said, "Feed my lambs." Second question, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he asked him, that must have really stung. It hurt him because he said, "I've told you twice that I love you. You're asking me again." It must have been tears in Peter's eyes because he realized when he let the Lord down, when Brandon said, "I will stay with you till death," what happened? He denied the Lord three times, and that must have really hurt Peter. Jesus recognized that Peter was hurt, and he gently forgave him. With certainty, Peter would have remembered this meeting with Jesus now, and he would not forget this incident for the rest of his life. Remember that when he wept bitterly, when he had failed his master, but Jesus recognized Peter's leadership, and he gently takes him aside. But also, we have a reading in Matthew 16. You don't have to turn to it. But it's Peter's confession of Christ. And when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea, we're reading from verse 13, I think. Yes, 13. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, "Who do you say, do people say about the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others said Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And he said, "But what do you say about me?" He asked, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, son of Simon, of Jonas, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you, Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And there you are. We're hearing Peter himself just testify to Jesus himself face to face that you are the Son of Man. But also, there's a warning there that Peter would have to follow him, and that's not going to come easy. And Peter would remember that later on. I think it's time now to just have a quick appreciate to see Peter's attributes. Recognize some of the qualities and failings of this man. He was a natural leader, no doubt about that. He was strong and fearless. Do you remember the time when he saw Jesus walking on the water? Jesus said to him, "Come out." And he walked out. And then as he looked at the waves and the storms, he started sinking. And Jesus grabbed his hand, said, "You have little faith. But he was fearless. He was prepared to do that. He was loyal and trusting. Who do people say I am? He was perceptive. You are the Son of God. He wore his heart on his sleeve. He was honest. He was impetuous. Of course he was. Remember when he said, Brandon said, I will follow you. I'll even die for you. And then he betrayed Jesus three times. He spoke with sincerity and with good intentions. But sadly, like all of us, he was human and he was frail. But Jesus recognized the qualities, and he's aware that he will be leaving his disciples, and he's warning them, you will face hardships, you will face trials. If they did this to me, certainly going to do it to you. And look in Acts now. If you turn to Acts, which is just over the page from where you are, you will see Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. This is Jesus is leaving, but he said, I'm going to leave something with you. And he left the Holy Spirit. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, you remember, Peter was warned by Jesus personally that you are going to suffer, you're going to face trials. And sure enough, legend has it that Peter, when he says you will be led by a hand, legend has it that Peter was actually blinded by his captors and he couldn't see where he's going, this giant of a man, and yet he was led. And then, just to cap it all, in 2 Peter verses 13 and 14, Peter says, I know that I'm going to give this life up soon. I can feel that my body, this tent, I will soon be leaving it. And they say that legend has it that Peter was actually crucified like his Lord. But he asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel that he was worthy enough to be in the same position as Jesus. Now, I've always had this impression in my mind, I'm sure we have, of different Bible characters. And I've always had this impression of Peter, big beard and strong man, okay? And one of the guys that came to mind, which I've always associated with Peter, was an Olympian called Jeff Capes. Now, some of you may know, some of you may be too young to remember who he is, but he was a shot putter, very, very strong man, right? As a young man, he was troubled and constantly fighting, right? Jeff Capes says in his own words, if the next town came down on a Friday night and there were only 8 or 9 guys there, he'd tell them to go back and get some more, and he'd take them all on his own. He'd fight the whole lot. But his life was turned around. At 16, he joined a local athletic club and met a gentleman called Stuart Story, an Olympic hurdler in 1968, I believe, who turned his life around. He was a big guy, and surprisingly, he was good at basketball, football, cross-country and sprinting. But Stuart encouraged him to take up shot putting. I don't know if you ever remember what it was like putting the shot at school, us guys, but I mean, I used to have to jump out the way because it would have landed on my foot. That's as far as it goes. But Jeff Capes, he was a shot putter, a Commonwealth champion a couple of times, competed in 3 Olympic Games. He still holds the record, 71 feet, 2 inches, which has stood since 1980 of throwing that shot. Twice he won the world's strongest man, and he set 17 world records. That's just a few. But the other thing that was amazing that you may or may not know, he became a household name, but the other thing that this giant strong man did was he bred budgies. Remember that, bred budgies, completely different. And there was a famous picture. The newspapers came and there was pictures of him holding a beauty, bathing beauty on one shoulder, sacks of coal. But I think it was a photographer from the Daily Mirror came. Sorry, I haven't got it on the screen, but because of the pictures with the budgies, there was a picture of Jeff Capes with a lovely little budgie on his arm. Look at that. Can you see that? The budgie? Jeff Capes, the strong man. And there's that little bird trusting him. You know? And it said that brought out the gentle side in him. And he was a world champion breeder. Let's not forget that. Every morning he had 300 budgies. And he would go out and feed them before he went anywhere. So he loved his budgies, and they obviously loved him. But that picture reminds me of Peter. You know, the strong man Peter was reduced to tears when he failed Jesus. And like the budgie there, God shows love. Even though we are weak and insignificant, he still loves us. So I want to tie up everything now. And how does this apply to us? Okay, Bev, he said, you've been very interesting. You've given us a history of breakfast on the beach. You've given a history of Peter. You've given your views on him. How does this apply to us today in 2026? Well, we are like Peter. We all fail him. Satan is always happy to point out our failings. Call yourself a Christian, he whispered, as he makes us feel abject failures. But take heart. Once upon a time, you wouldn't have cared if you'd have said something out of order. You'd have carried on the next day. But the Holy Spirit is working in you because he convicts you. And if you feel guilty about certain things that you never used to worry about, that is a good sign because you are now feeling remorse where you didn't before. If Jesus forgave Peter, he will certainly come and forgive you if you come with a contrite heart. And also, hopefully, he will show you how to avoid those situations so you don't get led into temptation. But the positive note I'd like to end on now is, do you realise the eternal hope that we have in Christ? In John it says, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many, many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And telling his disciples before he was going to his crucifixion, that's where you're going, that's where you're heading. And there's a verse that's tantalized me for years, and that's the last verse of the last chapter of John. Verse 25. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books written in them. So Jesus had spent 3 years with his disciples, right? 365 times three is roughly 1,100. We've only got a small smattering of what Jesus did. Can you imagine the other things that when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to ask people about? Now, I took a figure, million. I said to myself, right, if you're in heaven and you speak one day to a million people, one day, that's 273 years that you will go speaking to people about Jesus and the things they've done. You can imagine one day you're going to be able to speak to Peter, maybe for 1,000 years. It won't make any difference in eternity. And you'll be able to speak to Peter, to Paul, all your Bible hearers, Charles Spurgeon for myself, Charles Wesley, John Wesley, the thief on the cross, right? And also meet others who have given their lives to Christ, even unto death, which is very applicable when we're speaking now. We will be humbled when we find out there were people who didn't really take much notice of at church, or we saw them, they were Christians, they went to another church. We'll be humbled when we find out that they were praying for us and they were instrumental as young Christians in helping us in our conversion. So take heart in this. It's the same Jesus who forgave Peter and recognized and forgives us. One who laid down our life for us to give us eternal life. We come and worship him today for his infinite love. Do you love me? He asks. Do you love me? He asks again. Do you love me? He asks for a third time. Say yes, because I'll tell you why. Because I love you. May God bless his word.